Many weeks, as I'm preparing my message, I want to find just the right image to put on the screen. You know, so that most of the time I start with an image on the screen here. And most of the times that I do my sermons in preparation, my go-to website is called dreamstime.com. I thought that was kind of appropriate for the message this morning that we're talking about. Because we're talking about laziness this morning. And so I went to Dreamstime this week. And it has all kinds of pictures, free pictures I can download and whatnot. And so I typed in the word laziness and see what came up with. You know, that's what I kind of do. And it kind of spurs me. I do a simple engine search and type in the word. And it gives me hundreds of pictures to choose from. And this week was no different. Even before I thought about what I was going to say, I did my search to see kind of what the pictures were that would pop up. And so I typed in the word laziness, and there were quite a number of images there. Some were, in some form or another, that responded to the query laziness. Of course, there were some animal pictures there, usually of cats and of turtles and of sloths. You know, and I thought, well, I might think about a cat being lazy because that's kind of the modus operandi of cats type thing. They tend to be lazy and just not wanting to do things. Turtles and sloths are slow, and so they don't get things done a whole lot. But I'm not sure if I'd classify it as laziness, but there were several pictures of turtles and sloths, and they are slow moving around, but I'm not sure if I'd characterize that as laziness, as I said. I also saw many pictures of people sleeping and relaxing, you know, type of vacation type of pictures. And again, I looked at those pictures and I thought, I'm not sure if that all the time is laziness. I mean, sleep is, you know, sleeping in and doing a lot of sleeping is lazy time sometimes, but not just, right, you know, we all need sleep. We all need to relax. And so I'm not sure if I'd classify that as laziness either. But then some pictures started popping up, like those hitting the snooze button. Again, not hitting the snooze button is not necessarily a bad thing unless you keep hitting it and you just don't want to get up. And then I saw some people sitting on the couch potatoes. You know, usually those couch potatoes, you see those pictures where the guy is, you know, maybe has his shirt off when he's watching TV, maybe have some crumbs of food around him and chip bags or whatnot. That might be a little bit more laziness in the idea. But again, relaxing is not necessarily lazy. It's bordering on lazy. But then I finally decided to go with this picture. Yeah, and for you guys that are at home, can't see us. It's a guy on a medicine or on a what is this ball called? Not a medicine ball, a yoga ball. Yoga ball. Yeah, a guy on a yoga ball, sleeping. and while I will give this guy credit that he has his sweatbands on and he looks like he wants to exercise and he actually dressed up to exercise, I'm not sure if he's there actually exercising. In fact, some would say, well, maybe this is at the end of his exercise and then he's all done and, oh, I'm just exhausted from all the hard work and all the exercise. But as I looked at this picture closer, he's not sweating. His clothes are not wrinkled or dripping wet. It doesn't look like he's actually started the exercise yet. It's lazy. It's what I think. That's the picture I think of when I think of lazy. I think this is the case here of laziness, because he doesn't seem that tired. He knows he should work out, but he just doesn't have that motivation to do it. Now, as most of you know, we've been studying through the book of Proverbs, and we've been in the book of Proverbs for the last 12 weeks. I counted them up this last week. Wasn't lazy in that part. And we covered a lot of ground in this book. We've looked at this book in general, kind of looked at what Proverbs was all about, who wrote it and all that good thing, some impressions from chapter 1. We talked about how it's beneficial to gain wisdom and some of the benefits. We talked about the wisdom of having sexual purity. We talked about how Solomon personified wisdom as a woman saying, hey, come, your free gift. Come and I'll teach you. I'll let you learn. Come freely. We looked at the many different proverbs and the topics in the Proverbs that are touched on here. We looked at pride, at folly. We looked at honesty. And we looked at correction, discipline. We looked at friendship. And money as well. We looked last week about Mother's Day, about this woman of this godly wife and mother. So we've covered a lot of ground in our study of the proverbial wisdom. So I was a little bit curious this last week, how much of this book have we covered? And so I went back on all my slides for the last 12 weeks and listed all the verses out. I 1 through 31 and listed the verses out of the slides that I put up on the screen here and what verses they contained. And I counted up those verses, and I've discovered that Proverbs has 31 chapters and 915 verses overall. That's the kind of the stats of Proverbs. 31 chapters, 915 verses. And we've covered all 31 chapters in one way or another. Some verses came from some chapters. We covered the whole chapter. Some we just covered 4 or 5 verses in the chapter. But we covered all 31 chapters in the book. And according to my count, we've read 389 verses, which is about 43% of the book of Proverbs. So that's not too bad. We're not quite up to 50%. And I thought, well, where are all those 50%? Where's the rest of the verses? And so I went through this last week, and I looked at the ones that I listed, say, well, we read these already. And I looked at the ones in between, the ones you haven't read, and kind of listed those out and kind of thought, okay, which ones are good ones that I might do in the future, and what's ones we're going to do today, and all that stuff. But I thought 43%, that doesn't sound like for a whole lot. But then I did some more calculations. We've only been in this Proverbs 12 weeks, and so if you divide 389 by 12, that's 32 verses a week. That's an awful lot for a message. I mean, yes, if you read an entire chapter, that might be not a whole lot because some chapters are 35 verses. But 32 verses a week, especially if there's small little individual verses here and there, which we have been because we look at these different topics. So that's an awful lot of verses. And if we study the 39 verses or 36 verses I think I put on the slides today, that's probably about 47%, I calculated. And maybe the week after that, our last week of Proverbs, maybe we get to 50%. Okay? And so we're going to have a lot. We still have 2 weeks to go, and with these, we'll get to close to 50%. Needless to say, we won't get to every proverb in this book. I mean, there's a lot of them there, a lot of wisdom in this book. Originally, I planned to wrap up next week and maybe highlight some of the verses that did not really fit in here or there, were kind of just the sporadic ones. And I will note that there are some verses that talk about the tongue that we have not covered in this series. But then I thought, well, the next series we're going to look at is the book of James, and the James has a lot to talk about the tongue. And so I think I'll talk about the tongue and the proverbs about the tongue when we get to the book of James. So that's something to look forward to. But the book of Proverbs has a lot of wisdom that we've covered, but there's a lot that's not. Now, the good news is, here starting in 2 weeks, those of us who are reading through the Bible in the year, in our little Through the Bible program, we'll start the book of Proverbs. We start this in June, actually. I looked on there, and I think sometime in June, first part of June, and it runs for like 3 weeks or so, and we'll read through the book of Proverbs. So I think that's a good thing to help us to do. And so, you know what I'm going to do to kind of help spur us as we continue reading through the Bible? I'm going to ask you in the coming weeks, starting in June, to think of this question. What is your favorite proverb that you read this week? And I'm going to ask that question to you guys, and I want you guys to just say, hey, I read Proverbs 1:5, and I like this proverb because it says this. And then, or just say, hey, I read, 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And just say, hey, that was a good proverb that I read this last week. And so I'm going to ask you that question, so be prepared. So that means one thing, you need to start reading through the Bible. Now, if you are not been reading through the Bible, this is your chance to start, okay? We're in week 21, so if you have not started or if you've fallen behind, go ahead and mark those that you haven't read yet and start in week 21, okay? Just start right there. You got to start somewhere, so start when we start in week 21. Start this week. Again, we'll start reading. Right now, we're going through the book of the story of David in 2 Samuel and Chronicles. And we're in the middle of that, and this week we're going to start the book of Romans, which is also a great book to start our series in. So start reading this next week, chapter 21. If you haven't read up to that point, just bracket that off there and say, I'll come to back at the end of the year when I actually have extra time, or maybe the beginning of next year, I'll finish reading through that thing. So this is your chance. Again, wipe away kind of that thing and start afresh. If you have fallen behind or have not done it, I got some more of these brochures out in the lobby. And you can just look up the verses. I had them on Facebook. I have them on our website. Again, read through the Bible. I think it's very important, okay? And it goes with our message this morning because it's about laziness. you don't want to read your Bible, don't be that lazy, okay? That's my first little point, even before I get into the book of Proverbs. Don't be lazy in reading your Bible, okay? There you go. That's my application right there. So let's look at laziness in the book of Proverbs. What is laziness? Laziness, like I said, is not just doing nothing or sleeping or just relaxing. It's not the absence of work. But I like how it's defined by Webster. This is Webster's definition of laziness. It's the quality of being unwilling to work or use energy. It's not just lack of work. It's the willingness, the attitude of someone that doesn't want to work, that isn't willing to work, isn't willing to use their energy, isn't willing to do things. Laziness is all about our attitude. Some people cannot work for various reasons. They're retired, or they're older, or they have some disability, or their injury, or something, sicknesses prevented them from working. That's not what laziness is. Laziness is just the unwillingness to act. So some people cannot because of various reasons, illnesses, disabilities, but laziness is all about the heart attitude. It's about our willingness or unwillingness to do things. And I think the book of Proverbs makes this clear, that those who are unwilling to work are who are called lazy or sluggards in this book, while those who are just relaxing, we'll see that in a minute. It's a frame of mind toward doing something that's useful or productive. And I think this is kind of the picture, like I said, of cats being lazy, but not so as far as turtles or sloths. They're just slow. They just can't do things. That's not what laziness is. Laziness is not taking time off work for a vacation or slacking off at work or not wanting to do the things you should be doing. In fact, I would argue that taking a break from work actually helps us more. Taking a little bit of vacation, a little bit of a break, even during the day, having those break times. That's why in the U.S. they have these mandatory break times in our work spaces to make us more productive. But what does the Bible say about the book of laziness, or the topic of laziness in Proverbs? Well, how is laziness defined? Let's look here, starting in chapter 20, verse 4. It says, "A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing." A sluggard. Now, you got to remember, this time in history when this book was written, it was all about agriculture. So there's a lot of agricultural harvest and planting and things, metaphors here in the book of Proverbs, because this was the way you earned money. This is the way you worked for a living. This is the way everyone in Israel was a shepherd or a farmer. And so they were raising money to provide for themselves and to sell and provide for their families. So if you did not plant at a certain time, you would not harvest at a certain time, right? It's one of those things. There's a certain time that you need to do certain things, and if you don't harvest at the harvest time, then your crops are just going to wither away. You cannot harvest whenever you wanted to. And so the sluggard, as a NIV says, and in fact, again, I looked at this word, sluggard. It's used only in the book of Proverbs. No other book has the word sluggard, even in the English translation, but the Hebrew word as well for sluggard is only used in Proverbs. But it's all about this willingness to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. I mean, there's not a choice. Like our farming culture, there's only certain months you can plant in. Now, last year, with our garden, we unfortunately, for not laziness reasons, but for other reasons, we did not plant our garden last year until very late. It was past, I think it was in June before we actually got things in our garden last year. And so when we came to harvest time, because we planted that late, it just didn't come into being. We didn't have a good harvest. The rains had already come by, and it just didn't water our crops like it needed to, and so we did not have a good harvest. This year, we got in there really soon, and we got a thing. So all these last few weeks of rain have been helping. But sleeping when you need to be awake and working is what defines a sluggard. Okay? And so we see this many times. It's about 14 times in the book of Proverbs. I'm not going to mention all 14 of them, but here's another proverb talking about a sluggard. Proverbs 21:25. It says, "A sluggard's craving will be the death of him, because his hands refuse to work." His craving, what he wants, his lazy attitude is going to lead him to death because he refuses to work. That their desire, their goal in life, the thing they crave will just not allow them to exist. Proverbs 20, verse 13. If you love sleep, you will end in poverty. Keep your eyes open, and there will be plenty to eat, it says. Again, another one, Proverbs 19, 15. It says, laziness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless man goes hungry. So it brings in another little aspect there. But when you sleep too much, you don't have the time to work. You don't have time to do the things. There's only so many hours in a day, we're told. Even today, there's only so many hours. And so all this is brought together, this laziness, this sleep, this poor attitude, in Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. It says, lazy hands makes a man poor, but diligent hands brings wealth. He who gathers crops in... Actually, the word is summer in the translation, but kind of in our terminology, our autumn, when he gathers crops in the autumn, he's a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. And so we have this idea that you need to bring in that crops at the right time, in the right season, when it's due, okay? You're not only poor and lazy, but you're a disgrace. You're a disgraceful son, it says here. It's so unwise to do this. And speaking of sleep, we saw this a few weeks back when we were talking about money. But Proverbs 6, we've talked about this before, 6:10, says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest, and poverty will come at you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. If you don't lack a lot of sleep, if you work hard, then you're going to be wealthy. You're going to be well off. Bandits are not going to come get you. Your scarcity, lack of things is not going to exist because you are working hard. But the context of this verse, if you read a few verses before this, doesn't have to necessarily do with money, which we applied it to last time, but it applies to laziness. Because a few verses before this, it says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer, autumn, I would say, and gathers its food in the harvest. How long will you lie there, sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? And then it goes on, a little sleep, a little slumber, and you know, it's all about the sluggard, this attitude saying, oh, I just don't want to do things. Again, it's the attitude, it's the heart things that we're talking about. It's talking about how this ant does the good things. And later on, another author in Proverbs uses these same pictures as well, kind of almost requotes Solomon here in chapters 24. It says, very similar way, it says, I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of a man who lacks judgment. Again, talking about the lack of judgment, the lack of willingness. And thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and a stone wall was in ruins. It continues, I applied my heart to what I've observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. And then he quotes this passage from Solomon, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. You know, it applies to our attitude. And he says, hey, I learned from this sluggard. I learned from this field full of thorns, full of weeds, that this is not a good thing. Right? Where did I put? This picture of thorns growing is pictured elsewhere. Proverbs 15:19 says, the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. And at first I thought this verse was figuratively, because if you're lazy, things are just going to pile up around you, right? If you're lazy, things are not going to get done, and so things are going to be blocked. So I thought this might be a figurative verse, that the path of the highway, you know, for the righteous is clear, right? But then I thought about this, and I thought this might be somewhat literal as well, because again, this is a farming community, and so if you don't do your farming task, thorns are going to grow up. I mean, I experienced this in our garden, a couple years ago, we decided to do a little bit different way of doing our garden. We were with mulching and whatnot, and tried to keep the weeds out that way, and it didn't work very well. It's working a little bit better, I think, this year. But anyways, we're trying to do something different, but the weeds just came up, and we just didn't have the time, or maybe we were lazy a couple years. We didn't pull those weeds when we should have. Those weeds grew up, and it just kind of, again, caused our harvest not to be very good. We spent a whole day almost one day that last year weeding the garden. And so this year, I hope we're going to be a little bit more diligent. I'll put it this way. Carrie's doing a good job. I'll give it for that. She does a great job in the garden. It's me who's being too lazy and saying, hey, I don't want to do the gardening. I don't want to pull weeds. Weeds pulling is. But we need to do that in order to what? To get that harvest. And so I think this might be more literal, that the sluggard's way is blocked with thorns, with weeds, with things that are not supposed to be there because they're not diligent. They're not willing to do the work. But when you clear those weeds, it's a straight path. It's a straight highway. So it's a good practice to do in our work life or our school life. Do not wait until the weeds overwhelm you. And again, like that parable in the New Testament where Jesus, the seeds, you know, some grew in weeds. You know, those weeds grew up and choked out that good crop. Don't wait until you're overwhelmed and weeds block your path to do something about them. But then I also thought, not just necessarily literally, but this can also be talked about spiritually. Because how many times in our spiritual life do we allow those weeds to grow up? We don't clear those bad things out, or we put in other things that don't include things like praying or reading our Bibles or spending time with God. That can be spiritual laziness, right? Do we neglect to read or pray or go to church or Sunday school, and those thorns, those weeds in our spiritual life start choking us out? This is one reason why God wants us to not be lazy spiritually. He doesn't want us to wait till we're overwhelmed with all of our troubles and all of our concerns. He wants to speak to us on a regular basis to keep those paths clear, right? Those highways straight. Those weeds rooted out as quickly as possible. He wants that communication lines clear. Be like a three-lane highway that you can go quickly. You know, if you're driving along a three-way highway, you can go around the slower passenger, slower cars. One of the things that I've noticed here in the last few weeks is a lot of the farm vehicles coming in because they're planting and doing the crops and planting and doing all their weed controls and whatnot. But it blocks the roads, right? You know, you're driving along these two-lane roads. You can't pass them because they're in the way, right? That's what it is spiritually. When things get blocked down our roads spiritually, it blocks the flow of traffic. And sometimes we get impatient behind those kind of things, right? Those things in a road. But usually when I am impatient behind a tractor or something, it's because I was lazy enough not to leave in time. I figured that out. Have you figured that out? If you're anxious because this guy is slowing you down, whether it be a tractor or a regular car, it's because something you probably did wrong. You didn't leave in time. Again, it all ties together. And I'm talking to me too, because I'm not going to talk about me because that's too close to home. I'm going to just ignore that and just go on to the next point. Because anyways, right? That's what we want to do many times. I don't want to deal with those weeds in my own life. How many times has this happened? Because we haven't, that weeds grow up because we haven't prayed, we haven't encouraged, and we suddenly get to God and says, you know, God, it's been this long since I've read your Bible, or this long since I prayed, and things are just overwhelming me. And God's saying, duh. You know, if you just continue to keep that lane open, you know, I'll be with you. You'll be able to realize, right? Don't be lazy in our spiritual life. I should also point out another author in this book of Proverbs points to ants as a good example of this work and this lack of laziness. Proverbs 30, this is Augur, says there, kind of using the same imagery of the ants. He says in Proverbs 30, verse 24, four things on earth are small, yet extremely wise. And he says, first of all, ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. And he goes on and talks about badgers and how they have houses in the rocks and locusts swarm together, even they don't have a leader, and how lizards, the last creature he looks at, how they are easy to catch, but they're everywhere. But anyways, he talks about ants and how ants don't have a lot of strength compared to us, and yet they do a lot of work, right? Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. And so how is laziness judged by this book in Proverbs? Not only does it say, hey, you're going to be poor, it's going to lead to death, but what are these lazy people, these sluggards, judged by? What are these characteristics? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11 says this, he who works his land will have abundant food, But he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. And I kind of like that passage there. It's very, very unique in the Hebrew line. In fact, the literal translation says, he who pursues emptiness has no life, lacks heart, kind of thing. So when it says he chases fantasies, lacks judgment, it says he who chases after nothingness is going to get nothingness. Is kind of what it says there in Hebrew. In fact, the New Revised Standard says this verse this way. He says, those who till their land will have plenty of food, but those who follow worthless pursuits have no sense. They just are just worthless, right? Those who pursue after vapors. It kind of almost reminds me again of Ecclesiastics. These vapors that you cannot hold on to. It's futile. It's lacking. In fact, the same phrase is used in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19. He who works hard his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies, again, that same phrase there, chases after nothing, will have his fill of poverty. Has fill of poverty. Again, one of those things that chase after nothing, you're going to get nothing. Proverbs 12, 24 says, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. You're going to just put yourself in a hole, essentially. Again, this verse in the New Living Translation says it this way, kind of makes it a little bit more blunt. It says, work hard and become a leader. Be lazy, become a slave. So do you want to be a leader or do you want to be a slave? Do you want to work for other people or do you want to work for things? Because if you're just lazy, you're not going to get far in the world. In fact, a lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. That's what Psalm 18:9 says. A lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. A vandal, someone who's destroyed, tears things down. A lazy person tears his own things down, essentially, is what I think this proverb is saying. And then we have a few verses that I hinted at a few weeks ago about laziness, that they use exaggerated excuses, right? And I've mentioned this last couple weeks here ago. It says, a lazy person claims, there's a lion out there. If I go outside, I'll be killed. Again, one of those things. This is just absurd, right? Again, another translation of that same verse says, a lazy person, a sluggard, claims, there's a lion in the road. Yes, I'm sure there's a lion out there. I'm kind of very convinced that, hey, if I go out there, bad things are going to happen. Because it's their attitude, right? And again, this verse is, the verse following this one is very clear about this uselessness about the nature of the sluggard. Because it says in the next verse in chapter 26, verse 14, it says, as a door turns on its hinge, so a sluggard turns in his bed. You know, a sluggard just goes one way and then the other. I mean, that's all he does. He just wants to lay in bed, turning on one side and turning on the other, just like a door opens and closes. It's kind of the picture that we have here. It's just as kind of useless as that door on the hinge there. And then it follows with this one, which again I've mentioned before. Verse 15 says, a sluggard buries his hand in a dish and is too lazy to bring up to his mouth. Again, I love these verses that talk about how this laziness, this lack of willingness to do anything, even feed themselves, is just absurd. Or saying the absurd thing is, no, there's a line out there. It's just absurd. So, laziness are not looked at very highly. They are do-nothings with attitudes to do as little as possible. That's their attitude. They're worthless as the empty pursuits that they go after. So don't be like that. Instead, let diligence rule in your life. And that's what this Proverbs talks about. The diligence, working hard, doing things that you need to do when that needs to be done. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13 says, if you love sleep, you'll end up in poverty. We've seen that before. But it goes on to say, keep your eyes open and there'll be plenty to eat. Again, it's not necessarily that you're relaxing, but hey, you're working, you're doing something, and there'll be plenty to eat. Gotta find where I'm at. Again, all these verses are flowing together here. Okay, Proverbs 12:11 says this, he who works this land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Yes, again, that's kind of very, very similar to what we said before. But a couple more to this, along this line. It says, Proverbs 16, verse 26 says, the laborer's appetite works for him, His hunger drives him on. And I don't got the other translation of this, but it's saying, hey, it's good to be hungry sometimes because that'll motivate you to keep on working. I mean, it's good sometimes to be have that little hunger pain because that'll make you want to work more and keep not being lazy. And then there's this appetite toward hard work will spur you on. It will satisfy you. Proverbs 13, verse 4 says, a sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are satisfied. Now it says the sluggard craves. It's talking about craving their own ideas, own desires. They want to do nothing, and they'll get nothing. But the desires of the diligent, those who work hard, will be satisfied. And then we have Proverbs 14, 23. All hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Again, those things that just using your lip service and not doing anything will not work. Now, does this mean that we should work all the time, be workaholics? Again, there's this caution in Proverbs, and I talk about this in my introduction, that Proverbs is just as clear about enjoying yourself and taking breaks and doing things after the work is done, okay? And this Proverbs says it most clearly here. Proverbs 27, starting in verse 23, it says, know the state of your fields or your flocks and put your heart into caring for your herds, for riches don't last forever, and the crown might not be passed on to the next generation. We talked about this a few weeks ago where, you know, we want an inheritance for our children, and if you just, you need to know what your flocks are, but don't trust in them again, right? Don't trust in those, they won't last forever, but you want to hand them down. But this verse goes on, talking about this, says, after the hay is harvested, and the new crops appear, and the mountain grasses are gathered in, your sheep will be provided wool for clothing, and your goats will provide the price for the field. And you will have enough of goat's milk for yourself, your family, and your serving girls. Okay? So this is saying, hey, after all the hay is done, after all your work is done, you can sit back and enjoy yourself because you've done the hard work. You've accomplished your task. And so you'll have enough for your household to enjoy the benefits. Now again, this is speaking literally about a harvest, about agriculture season. But let's follow this idea spiritually again, because I think this is where laziness comes in our lives. Because I look out there and I see a lot of hardworking people. A lot of you have retired now, and so the work world is done. So hard work in the business world or in your work world is done. But spiritual work is never done. Spiritual work is never done. I mean, it may even go back to the idea in the Proverbs about training up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You see, studying God's word and praying in season in our spiritual life will help us when tough times come. You know, we'll have plenty of milk, of goat's milk, spiritual milk, if we study God's word, if we are diligent in that. Your hard work now is getting into the habit of reading the Bible and praying and getting through you the tough times when they come. You see, you cannot hide God's word in your heart or have God's word in your heart if you don't hide it there to begin with, right? You see, laziness is not just about the hard work in the work world. It's hard work in our spiritual lives as well. It's getting into God's word. It's being diligent. It's about striving for a life of prayer and devotion to Him. Yes, a good work ethic in life and business is good, but those things will fade. Money will fade. Those things of earth will fade. But we need to make that wealth, like Jesus says, in heaven. That's our spiritual battle now. That's what we need to work hard for. Our spiritual life in heaven is what will matter. So how are you working hard for those rewards, those things? Are you diligent and not lacking of laziness in the things of God? And I was not sure where in the sermon that I'd put this final proverb when I came across it this last week, or even if I would include it, because it was just one of those proverbs that talked about laziness and yet not. But as I started spiritualizing this message for my own life and saying, hey, how am I doing spiritually in my laziness? Am I being diligent in God's word? Am I reading through the Bible? Am I praying? Is my spiritual life that straight highway that we talked about, not the thorns that have grown up? This one seemed to come into play here because it says in Proverbs 21:20, In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oils, but a foolish man devours all he has. A foolish man doesn't look to the future. He just looks for himself for now. He doesn't store up the food like the ant does. He just wants things and devours them and so is lazy to replenish those. And I thought, are we storing up things in heaven, things of God? Are we being foolish and just using them up here on earth or not building them up in heaven? Because as I look out there this morning, I see a lot of good people who do hard work, have that good work ethic here on earth. But are we really that good work ethic in our spiritual lives as well? Sometimes we equate working in the world with working for the kingdom. We say, hey, you know, I'm retired, so I don't need to do the things to get me into heaven. Don't need to do the things that store up treasures in heaven. But storing up treasures in heaven doesn't end until we retire when God takes us home. That's when our retirement will happen spiritually. I mean, on earth here, we're retired and we're done with our work world, but spiritually, we're not done. Sometimes we sit back and being lazy spiritually while we're still here alive on earth. There's still work to do. There's still a spiritual harvest to bring in, right? There might not be a physical harvest, agriculture that we talked about, being lazy about, but there's a spiritual harvest. Are we being lazy about bringing in that spiritual harvest? Keep doing the things of working for God, for Jesus, because hard work will pay off in the end because we'll hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, right? There's one more thing from this weekend, or from last week, at the Central Region Conference that I really liked. There are three couples that were retiring. The Halls, the Ramsons, and then Stephen Lane and Becky. And one of the things that Stephen Lane said, you guys know him, he was a pastor here at one time. He's retiring from the Central Region District as being the financial guy there. But he says, hey, I'm not done yet. I'm retiring from this job, but I've got another job that God's set for me. I don't know what it is quite yet, but God's got something in store for me, some other tasks to do, some other things that I'm going to look forward to doing because God's not through with me. And that struck me because of what we're talking about today. But that's not laziness. That's a willingness for God to use you. And I want all of us, retired, young people, whatever, to say, hey, God, I want you to use me. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to sit around with this attitude that says, I don't need to do anything. Just let someone else do it. No, it's our task. Each one of us has worked for the kingdom, spiritual wealth to gain, spiritual treasures in heaven that we can store up for. That's how I'm going to end this morning with laziness. Don't be lazy in that aspect. Yes, enjoy your life, your retirement, but don't be lazy when it comes to God. That will lead to destruction.